Good morning and good coffee, everybody. Hey, it's time for some morning coffee with Larry, and I'm glad that you were here to join with me today. Oh, the coffee tastes good. Well, it is Sunday, the 4th of May. It is. It's May the 4th be with you. But better than that, because I didn't think of it till I actually just said it. Better than that, it is Easter Sunday. Some refer to it as Resurrection Sunday, but this is the day that Christians remember the most incredible event ever. The resurrection of Jesus Christ. You know, I'm sitting here in the dark. There's just a couple of night lights on in the house, I guess. Three. Outside, it's dark. There's a moon up there. It's making a little bit of light, but you just see the top silhouettes, almost like a cityscape at night when there's no lights on it, of course. Or you see the silhouettes of the trees. I've been laying awake in bed since about 2:30. Why? I don't know. But I finally gave up, got up sometime after 4:30, made some coffee, got a little lap blanket, got the box of tissues because my nose has been going crazy for the past couple of days. And I'm just sitting here pondering. Just kind of pondering things. And as I was thinking about that and thinking about Easter's from the past, thinking about down at the cross, at the crossroads in Effingham, the great big almost 200-foot tall white cross on Friday. They bathed it in red light regarding the crucifixion of Jesus. Last night it was also in red. Tonight it won't be. Sunday night it won't be. It will be bright, shining white. But you know what? In thinking about the events of nearly 2,000 years ago that we remember to this day, I was sitting and thinking, you know, I wasn't sleeping well tonight, waking up too early, host of different things running through my head. And then I thought about those who were there nearly 2,000 years ago, who just a few days before watched Jesus enter into the city triumphant on what we call Palm Sunday. He entered in, according to the prophecy in Joel, on a colt of a donkey that had never been ridden before. And he came in, and the people cheered, and the people celebrated his entry. Why was he coming? Well, it was getting, you know, it was in the season of Passover. They assumed he was coming in for Passover. They had been hearing about the amazing things he had been doing all over. Healings. Raising people from the dead. Lazarus had just been raised after being in the tomb, I think like 4 days. He was speaking incredible sermons out on hillsides or from a boat, you know, in the Sea of Galilee. He had, you know, drawn attention. People who were lost were turning to him for salvation. People were wondering, is he the Messiah we've been waiting for, looking for? The Messiah for so long. Is he the chosen one? He also drew the attention of those who were in power, who didn't need somebody else coming onto the scene. They had a working arrangement with the pagan Romans. They still had their power. They still had their place underneath the Roman governor, under the Caesar. And they didn't want to mess up their sweet deal. So he had definitely gotten their attention. And then all of a sudden, everything changed. That was on Sunday. On Thursday, Jesus and his disciples, they had celebrated the Passover early because you had different sects in Judaism, and some celebrated Passover a little bit earlier. And so they had celebrated. And we know that in Christianity as the Last Supper. But it was a Passover Seder meal. And he changed part of it. You know, in the Seder meal, there's a person who is the leader. And Jesus had that role. And there's four cups in the Seder meal. And with the third cup, which is, I believe, the cup of redemption, he broke the bread and passed around, and everybody was break off a piece of the unleavened bread. And he said something different. He said, "This is my body. This is my body. Broken for you. Given for you for the forgiveness of sins." He was predicting what was going to happen in less than 24 hours. Then when he passed that cup, he said, "This is my blood. This is my blood. In a new covenant with you." The old covenant of Passover is being changed. Why? How? It's being fulfilled. Because that Passover lamb, going all the way back to the book of Genesis, that Passover lamb that, you know, was promised was the way of redemption for the Jews, the Israelites in Egypt, so that they would not be killed by the angel of death when they were released from bondage. That was a foreshadowing of what was getting ready to happen. That night, Jesus and the disciples went to the Garden of Gethsemane. They went there. They followed Jesus. Jesus told most of them to kind of stay back, and he took Peter, James, and John, and they went up the hillside. And then Jesus said, "Okay, you guys stay here and pray that you do not fall into temptation." And he went a little ways further and he prayed. He prayed heavily. He prayed deeply because he was in close connection with the Father. He knew what was getting ready to happen. He knew how horrific it was going to be. And he asked his Father, "If there's any way that this redemption can be done without me going through this absolute horrible experience, please let it be. But if not, if this is the only way, then your will be done. Then your will be done." Shortly after that, there were Roman soldiers that came, led by Judas who betrayed him. And they arrested Jesus. They took him back to the temple, the Sanhedrin, which was the governing body of the temple. They conducted an illegal midnight trial, brought false witnesses. There was a back and forth then after they found him guilty between Pilate, the Roman governor, Herod, the king of and ruler of Galilee, then back to Herod again. There was a mob that was brought up by the Pharisees and the Sadducees, people who were stirred up to demand the death of Jesus. And to avoid there being a riot and that looking bad on a governor, when he asked to send his report to Rome, he said, okay, I'm going to wash my hands of this matter. He had a bowl of water brought out and he symbolically washed his hands in front of them saying, this is not going to fall on me. I wash my hands of it. Do with him what you want. He was severely beaten within an inch of his life. He was paraded with two other criminals down to Calvary, a hill just outside of the gate, just outside of the walls of the city. And that's where I'm going to pick up the story by actually reading from the book of Luke. Because you see, while I was pondering in the night, thinking about different things, I am very sure that there were his disciples were awake that night too. They had gone through Friday night, or they had gone through Friday. They were scared. I don't blame them. It had to be a very frightening scene of incredible transition. Saturday, they were likely hiding from mobs that would try to do the same thing to them. The women were some of the last ones there. The women who followed Jesus. They went to the tomb. They saw where he was laid. And they too were pondering all the different events, as well as their duties on Sunday morning after sunrise or at sunrise, which, you know, you just didn't travel at night. It wasn't safe. And so they were pondering these things, I'm sure of it, in the night. I bet you they were sleepless. Sleepless in Jerusalem. So let me go back here just a smidgen and cover the last little bit of Jesus' time on the cross. And kind of, again, this is setting the stage for what the women were going to encounter. So I'm starting in, this is chapter 23, verse 44. And I'm reading the New International New International Version, NIV, the 1984 translation. It was now about the sixth hour, and darkness came over the whole land until the ninth hour. Now, the sixth hour would be our 12 noon. The ninth hour is our 3 o'clock in the afternoon on Friday. And darkness came over the whole land until the ninth hour. For the sun stopped shining and the curtain of the temple was torn in two. That tearing of the curtain, that was the part that blocked the Holy of Holies from the rest. It was torn in two. Why? Because Jesus' sacrificial death was tearing apart this barrier between God and man. That's why that symbol of separation was torn. And it was not like a curtain like you buy at Walmart. This was something that was very thickly made. Probably the strongest piece of fabric anywhere in the world in how it was constructed. Jesus called out with a loud voice, "Father, Into your hands I commit my spirit. When he had said this, he breathed his last. The centurion, who was the Roman in charge of the company that was crucifying him, seeing what had happened, praised God and said, "Surely this was a righteous man." When all the people who had gathered to witness this sight saw what took place, they beat their breasts and went away. But all those who knew him, including the women who had followed him from Galilee, stood at a distance, watching these things. Now there was a man named Joseph, a member of the council, a good and upright man who had not consented to their decision and action. He came from the Judean town of Arimathea, and he was waiting for the kingdom of God. Going to Pilate, he asked for Jesus' body. When they took it down, then he took it down, wrapped it in linen cloth, and placed it in a tomb cut in the rock, one in which no one had yet been laid. It was preparation day, and the Sabbath was about to begin. The women who had come with Jesus from Galilee following Joseph and saw the tomb and how his body was laid in it. Then they went home and prepared spices and perfumes. But they rested on the Sabbath in obedience to the commandment. Now, chapter 24. Let me get another sip of coffee here. Okay. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly, two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee, 'The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again.'" Then they remembered his words. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women, because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away, wondering to himself what had happened. Yeah. They had deep ponderings. They had to go and prepare Jesus' body properly. They had to do everything in haste because the Sabbath started at sunset. That was the interesting thing. They started their days differently than us. They started their days at sunset. And so they had to quickly do things. Now they were coming back the day after the Sabbath, the early morning hours of sunlight at sunrise, to do their preparation. You can read in the other Gospels some additional things. You read in Matthew, they talk about how there was the thought that because Jesus has said he was going to be dead for 3 days and then rise on the third day, that for that reason, there was a seal placed on the stone so that it would not be opened, and there were guards that were going to be placed there. However, in other accounts, you hear about how angels rolled the stone away and the soldiers fell like dead men. You know, different people were interviewed and different people saw different parts of it. That's why all the Gospels are so important. You have the reports of the different witnesses. But here it is, it's still dark. No sun is creeping up yet. Yet the women were likely working very busily, getting things prepared, talking among themselves, apprehensive about what they were going to find, how they would open the grave so that they could go in. Would the guards work with them? Would the guards try to harass them? Remember, this was an occupying force there. These were Roman soldiers who were occupying Jerusalem, all of Judea. There had to be a level of fear. These were scary, intimidating people, yet their love for Jesus and wanting to do the respectful thing for his body after the disrespect of Good Friday, they went. And they were the first to receive the message. The first to receive the message. He is not here. He is risen. He is risen indeed. I hope you and your family have a wonderful Easter. Have a great time with family or friends that you're able to be with. And look forward to talking with you again next time with another cup of coffee. Have a great one, everybody. Happy Easter. Bye-bye.